The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days, told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day in the sunshine that reminds us of your radiant love. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. In your holy name we pray, amen. When Jesus came down from the mountain and he encountered this father and son, his reaction, he seems to get pretty grumpy and angry. He says, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" Jesus sounds kind of fed up. And that's not normally how we think of Jesus. We think of Jesus as always being accessible and kind and loving. And again, here, he's angry. Which makes us wonder why. Why would Jesus get so angry and grumpy and critical? Faithless and perverse generation. Well, if you think about it, he was just on top of this mountain, and he was with the two greatest prophets of all time, Moses and Elijah. God spoke from a cloud, and it was a mountaintop experience. He was radiating God's light. It must have been wonderful. And what was the instruction that God gave to the disciples from the cloud? What did God say? "This is my son, the beloved, my chosen." What were they supposed to do? Listen to him. Listen to him. Jesus was frustrated because they had just heard from the very mouth of God to listen to Jesus. And the first thing that happens when Jesus comes down the mountain is he's not welcomed by a bunch of people who want to listen to him. He's met by a family that's saying, do something for us. I have a problem and I need you to fix it. You're the guy. Now, we can't really blame the father for wanting to do this. I mean, he wants his son healed, and he's heard that Jesus is the guy to do it. And nevertheless, this seems to bother Jesus because Jesus seems to be taking a turn in his ministry at this moment. No longer is he about doing stuff. He's still going to do it. But his real goal, his focus, is to teach and to get the people to listen to him and to do the things that he does. So maybe when Jesus gets frustrated, maybe he's criticizing his own disciples when he says, you faithless and perverse generation. Maybe it was a harsh criticism of his own disciples because he expected them to take care of this, to do it. Which raises another question, why didn't they? And even to this very day, why don't we do the things that Jesus did? One of the reasons that we don't is because we think that we can't. We think that Jesus was special and different in a way that we could never be. I remember one time I was in Nicaragua, the country of Nicaragua. My friend was in the Peace Corps up in a mountain village, and Sherry and I were visiting him. And we one day left his village to go back to the place where I had been when I went to Nicaragua in college. I've been twice, once in college and then once as a young adult. So in order to get around, you took the bus. And the buses that they had there were like yellow school buses. I guess maybe they get sold and taken down there to be used as public transportation. Well, when we were riding the bus down the mountain from his mountain village, and it's like a bumpy dirt road, it was pretty fun, especially if you're sitting in the back of the bus. When it went over a thing, you kind of, woo, went up in the air. And while we were going on this ride, a young man sitting a few rows in front of us began to have an epileptic seizure. His eyes rolled back in his head. He was flailing. He was foaming at the mouth. And when this happened, everybody on the bus got really scared and thought that he was possessed by a demon. And if you look at the description of the person in the Bible this morning, the son that this father's trying to heal, the description looks textbook the same as an epileptic seizure. It dashes them through the ground. They can't control their limbs. They foam at the mouth. So you can understand why the people on the bus thought this person was possessed by a demon. And it was sad. It was sad to see. And there were the family members stayed with the person and helped them. But you didn't have a lot of access to medicine in that area. And who am I to say? Maybe it was a demon possession. And how are we not to know that in ancient times, if someone had epilepsy, maybe they talked about it in terms of being possessed with a demon? It can feel frustrating when we're in that moment and we're not able to help somebody like we would like to. And Jesus felt frustrated that his own disciples weren't doing the work that he wanted them to do. I believe that this happens to us because of our captivity to works righteousness. We constantly struggle with believing that only special and righteous people have access to God. And it's just not true. When you are baptized in the waters of baptism, you are completely connected to God, just as much as any other person. You are connected to God the same way that Jesus was. That is the promise of our baptism, that anything that would get in the way of your relationship to God is washed away. All of that sin is washed away. We pray for the Holy Spirit, and it is promised to enter you. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are the baptized apostles of God, sent to do the same work that Jesus did. We were reading in our Bible study in the Gospel of Luke that when Jesus called the 12 disciples, and we read through the names, at the very end it says, and he sent them as apostles. There was no lag time. There was no, okay, you're going to be a disciple for 3 years, we'll see how it goes, and then if you're approved, you can be an apostle. Not how it works. As soon as they were called as disciples, they were sent as apostles, sent to do the work of the Lord. And the same is true for us. There's been a couple times lately where I've been in conversations with people, and they said, well, Pastor, talking about sort of like my job, you know, you are our conduit to God. And that's not true. I'm not. You don't need a conduit to God other than Jesus. Jesus is your conduit to God, and Jesus is connected to you in your baptism and renewed in you every time that you receive the bread and the wine. You have a direct connection to God. You can confess your sins to God. So then you say, well, what are you for? I said, well, good question, but you got me now, so you're stuck with me. I'm here to help teach you. I'm here, and you are here to help teach me. We are the body of Christ together. We stand on equal footing before the Lord. And the Lord calls each of us to do the work through faith that he wants us to do. A couple of examples of this from our Bible readings this morning. Thank you, Anelia, for reading. Our first reading from Exodus is this reading about Moses and the veil that he had to wear. And it sounds a lot like the Transfiguration story. Moses goes up the mountain, he's very close to God, and when he comes back, he just radiates. He radiates, and it's so bright that when he tries to interact with the other people, they can't even look at him. Moses, we can't look at you. You're too bright. And they couldn't hear the words that he had to say. He had just received all this law from God, all this wisdom, and no one could even come close to him to hear it. So they gave him a veil. And I see that as a good thing. It was a creative, innovative technology that Moses could wear so that he could spend time with his family, Aaron, Miriam, and his friends, where before he was feeling lonely and isolated and different. Now with the veil, they could have fellowship one with another. The people no longer had to feel that Moses was different and that they couldn't have that connection with God. Just the opposite. Each and every person standing before God, before Mount Sinai is drawn into the same covenant with God. Our next reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul takes this story and he puts a twist on it. Paul says that some people still have a veil over their minds, which prevents them from hearing the word of God in all of its clearness. And we have to be kind of careful with this passage, because we would never want to use it in a hateful way to say that some people cannot understand the word of God. The point of the passage is just the opposite. Remember who Paul was. Paul was a Jew. He was a very observant Jew. And when Paul had an experience of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, he wanted to take the love of God that he knew through the Jewish scriptures and through his experience with Jesus, and he wanted everybody to have access. He wanted everybody to know the Lord and to know the Word of God. And he had a hard time doing it. He would get Romans and Greeks and people from all different backgrounds to come and to learn about Jesus. But then when he did so, some of the people that he worshiped with said, sorry, they're not invited. Because at that time, all of the first Christians were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. So as Paul starts bringing in non-Jewish people, there is some tension in the worshiping community. This is what Paul is talking about with a veil over our minds. And it goes back to the same sin that we all struggle with: works righteousness. Paul wants the people to know that your background, the family you came from, the language you speak, your ancestors, none of that qualifies you to have a connection to God. The Holy Spirit, through our baptism, connects each and every one of us to God. And it is that same Spirit that removes the veil in our mind, the biases that we all struggle with, and lets us see clearly the Word of God. Because we are saved by grace, you have a direct connection to God. And so that leads us back to our gospel reading. Jesus does heal the young man, the boy who suffers from this demon. Maybe it was epilepsy. And he does so not because he wants people to think that he is the only one. Faith begins by seeing Jesus as our connection, as our Savior, as our one to God. But faith continues when we change from disciples to apostles who listen to Jesus, just like God said from the cloud. Don't just ask him for stuff, but actually listen to him, learn to be like him, and learn to do what he does. Today is our last worship service before Lent. And during Lent, our focus in our preaching and teaching will be on how do we serve like Jesus? How do we be his apostles? Not just follow him, but to be sent out and to be leaders, commissioned and sent in his name. I shared with you a story about a time when I was in Nicaragua and I felt overwhelmed because of the situation in the bus that I couldn't do anything. But it reminds me of another experience I had. As I mentioned, I went in college and a friend of mine went with me at that time. His name was James Pike. I've shared these stories before. Pastor Jim and I both went to Nicaragua as college students together. And one of the things that happened at that time was there was a person who was sick. And our pastor who led the trip, his name was Pastor Jeff Johnson. And so there we are, all these college kids with our pastor. We are all each staying with different families in their houses. And this is in a very sort of remote village. It's very modest. And the family that I'm staying with, they have a kid who's sick, really sick. Not like epilepsy, like they had a really high fever. And after we got there, they said, "Is there a pastor in your group?" And we said, "Yes, here's our pastor." And they said, "Okay, well, we need your pastor to pray for our daughter." And he did. He prayed for this young woman who was sick. And when he did that, she was miraculously healed. It was a faith healing right there. Her fever went away, all of her symptoms went away, and she was completely fine. And word of it spread throughout the village. I mean, it was sort of like biblical. And people were starting to come to be prayed for as well. There was only one problem. Right after this happened, Pastor Jeff Johnson got a phone call from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where he was born and raised, that his father had passed away. And he had to leave. And he left. Right after he had healed this person and word had spread and his whole college group was there, he said, "I'm sorry, but I gotta go." And there were other adults with us. We were in good hands. Everything was so planned and organized. He did so prudently. But then as all these people came looking to be prayed for, they said, "We heard there's this preacher here that can do faith healings." He wasn't there. So what did we have to do? We had to start praying for people. We didn't have a choice. And we, these college kids who had never been to seminary, but were active in church, we just had to start praying for people. And we prayed for a lot of people. And we did our mission trip. And that's the same thing God asks for each and every one of us. To do the work that Jesus did, to be his apostles. That's what Lent is all about. And God will be with us to help us along the way. Amen. Please stand for the hymn of the day.